My guest is Alex Trebek. He hosts the TV game show Jeopardy. It's the one that viewers think of as something between a trivia quiz and an IQ test. Each night, contestants try to earn prize money by answering questions in six categories.
May I have authors for $200, please?
Certainly. The first clue is, in the 1950s, he published Brave New World Revisited, a supplement to his 1932 work. Joe.
Who is Aldous Huxley?
You are right.
Cards for $200.
The high card in a royal flush poker hand. Lee.
What is the ace?
Right.
Thank you, Alex. I'll start with M for $200, please.
The answer. Meaning belonging to the muses. It's a picture made of colored tiles set in mortar. Joe.
What is a mosaic?
Right.
Starts with M for $400.
The answer there is an Audio Daily Double.
Maybe a lot of viewers already know the answer to this, but I don't. What's the rationale for having to give the answer in the form of a question?
Basically, it's a gimmick, but it is the gimmick that makes Jeopardy unique among quiz programs. It adds one step to a mental process that is already very difficult for our contestants. And it happens to be the way that Merv Griffin invented the game.
I've seen times when a contestant has lost money because instead of saying, "What is the Brooklyn Bridge, Alex?" they say, "The Brooklyn Bridge." Does it make you feel bad when you have to disqualify an answer because it wasn't asked in the form of a question?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not a mean person. I'm there to see that the contestants do as well as they possibly can within the context of the rules. Now, we are lenient to a certain extent. In the Jeopardy round, the first round of play, we always remind the contestants about their phrasing. We do not do that in Double Jeopardy. We do not do that in Final Jeopardy. And we do not do that for any of the daily doubles. If they make a mistake in those three instances, unfortunately, it is going to cost them. And it cost one of our players in last year's Tournament of Champions very dearly. He got the correct response, but he didn't put it in the form of a question. I was heartbroken for him. I had tears in my eyes. He took it a lot better than I did. So, yes, it does upset us when that kind of thing happens. And as a result, we have contestant coordinators working with the players through all the commercial breaks, constantly reminding them, remember, phrase it in the form of a question, especially on Final Jeopardy.
How do they come up with the questions for Jeopardy?
We've got a staff of 12 writer-researchers who find material everywhere. Encyclopedias, magazines, newspapers, television programs, daily experiences, you name it. When I travel, I will come back with suggestions for the writing staff saying, hey, I was in Colorado Springs and I visited NORAD and I went to the Air Force Academy and the Air Force Academy Chapel is the most visited tourist site, man-made tourist site in the state of Colorado. So they'll write that up, and it winds up being a clue on Jeopardy.
Do you guys ever make mistakes in what you think the correct answer is and have to correct it after the commercial?
Usually our facts are correct, but they may be incomplete. A contestant who knows a great deal about a particular subject may be able to enlighten us and say, hey, this really is right. I'm a nuclear physicist, and your question had to do with nuclear physics, and none of your writer researchers are experts in this field, and I am. And if you look in such and such a book, you'll find that my response is acceptable. And we'll do that, and we'll make a correction.
I don't know what your role is in choosing the contestants, or are you involved in that process?
No. I was producer of Jeopardy for the first three seasons. I'm not anymore since I started hosting Concentration. And the networks are very sensitive to the old scandal problem that gave them a great deal of concern in the 1950s. And so what they like to have is a separation of powers or a separation of personnel, if you will, between the contestant area and the material preparation area. And because I was producer and was overseeing everything, I made a decision on my own to stay out of the contestant selection process entirely.
It sounds like it's quite an elaborate process. Contestants have to take tests and then do sample shows before you pass them and make them an official contestant.
Absolutely. It's probably the most difficult test of any show on the air right now. And in fact, I think it's more difficult than being on the show. And it has to be. We want our contestants to have a broad-based knowledge. We want them to be able to recall information quickly and accurately. We want them to be able to play the game well, and we also would like them to have some measure of personality.
For a lot of people, I think getting on a game show is a peak experience. You're not only on TV, but you're also able to make a lot of money while you're on TV, bringing together two of the great American dreams. And people would be so nervous in that moment that I'd imagine a lot of people freeze once the cameras turn on. Does that
not
happen
really.
A lot? Really? They're
no,
that well prepared, huh?
It doesn't really happen on Jeopardy, and I'll tell you why. Most game shows or quiz shows are taped 5 programs in one day. So you need a whole week's supply of contestants on that particular day. They've already had a rehearsal game prior to this, so they've gotten kind of comfortable with the television lights, with the camera, the music, and all of the activity that's going on in the studio. And, in addition, the people who are upcoming contestants are sitting in the audience and are playing the game. They're saying, oh boy, and you always play it a lot better when you're not involved in it. I'm sure you've heard the comment from your friends who might be Jeopardy fans. They say, gosh, I sit at home in my living room and I get everything right. Well, that's true. Most people do a lot better in their living rooms than they will ever do on the program. And our contestants react the same way. So they're in the audience and they're feeling confident. They say, gee, if I wish I had that game, boy, I'd have been able to make $15,000. And now all of a sudden it's their turn. So they realize nothing bad's going to happen. What they're concerned about most, and this is true, I would say, of 90% of the Jeopardy players, is not making a fool of themselves. Most of the time, our contestants are not there for the money on Jeopardy. They are there to show off their intellectual skills. They are there to have their moment in the sun and be television stars for that half hour.
You've been doing game shows for many years, and you hosted a lot of shows in Canada before even coming to America. You were the MC of a Stars on Ice variety show of championship horse racing and championship sports. How did you get into MCing and then game shows?
Let's see. I applied for a job as a summer announcer one year in order to raise some money to pay for my university. I got the job. I worked through the summer months. Around Christmas time, an opening came up on the permanent staff. They said, Alex, would you be interested in having this position? And I said, yes, if I can finish my senior year at college. And they said, go ahead. We'll have you working from 6 to midnight. You can attend school in the daytime. And I graduated and stayed with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Hosted a variety show at one time on which Alan Thicke and a friend of his appeared as a singing duet. And when Alan Thicke came to the United States to write for game shows, he suggested me as a possible host for a new show called Wizard of Odds that NBC was doing. I auditioned in New York for that. 2 weeks later, I came to Los Angeles, did the pilot. 2 weeks after that, the show went on the air, and the rest is, as they say, history. I've been doing it for the past 14 years.
Game shows have led to some interesting careers for some of the hosts. Johnny Carson got his start on, I think it was Who Do You Trust?
Mm-hmm.
And you Downs, I think, used to do Concentration.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Did you ever try to break out of game shows?
Well, I'm trying to do that now. I'm making an attempt to get into production more, and I may try to sneak back into acting a little bit. But I really don't have the time right now to do any of these things. I'm so busy with Jeopardy and Concentration and traveling around the country doing promotion for both of them and contestant searches that I have very little opportunity to indulge myself, if you will, in these other areas. But I'll make a move in that direction.
You know, there's a new ad campaign for the new season of Jeopardy, and I think it is showing you in a new image. The ad campaign is a few teenage girls sitting in a fast food restaurant playing Jeopardy with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk in, and one of them says, ooh, I'd like to be in double Jeopardy with him. And I think your new image that they're promoting is as a real hunk, a real sexy guy. Is this something new for you, this image?
Well, it's a bit of a follow-up to the promos we have done for the past 2 years, in which I played kind of a James Bond character rescuing beautiful damsels in distress. And this year they didn't want me to rescue anybody, but they are mentioning or alluding to the fact that I am a hunk. And hey, I like it. I don't have many more good years, so I might as well grab them while I can.
Well, thanks for talking with us, Alex.
My pleasure, Terry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alex Trebek is the host of Jeopardy!